Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here in the Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to have another segment where Brad Barnhill is going to tell us a story about a very strange incident. You're going to say, wait a minute, how come I'm hearing all these weird things that happen to people? Is this true? This is just surreal. It's actually happening, folks. It's actually happening. And again, our approach is to just to get to the truth, to talk about the truth, not to sensationalize and not to say all the government's bad guys. What it is evil men do not understand justice. And so what happens is people who happen to be working for the government, bless their hearts, not everybody, but some people are run amok and nobody's got the audacity to hold them accountable. Sometimes they run into somebody who's willing to stand, not for only their own sake, but realizing the ramifications that'll happen to a weaker person if they don't stand. You know, in Esther chapter 4, it talks about where Mordecai comes to his cousin and he says, listen, eventually we're going to get a deliverer here, but you and your family will die. Maybe you've been made for such a time as this. It's possible that there's times in history, if you look back, certain people stood with great risk. We all are benefiting from it. So Brad Barnhill, if you want to check out his story at personalodyssey.blogspot.com, Brad's going to get back and tell us a story about what was happening when his wife was falsely arrested and wrongly accosted at an airport, and the government tried to use charges to basically make her look like the bad guy. And as in our previous exciting episode, this prosecutor had basically made some threatening motions toward Brad's wife. Okay, go back to that story, Brad, and tell us from that point on.
Okay, so after the incident in the conference room where the prosecutor says, I don't have to answer your effing questions, they go in front of the judge. And my wife presents her demand for bill of particulars. And the judge looks at the prosecutor and says, what's your position? And the prosecutor says, I've got no duty to respond to that. And the judge looks at the Constitution of Michigan, at Article 1, Section 20, and he looks at the statute in the criminal procedure code that says that she does, and he says, well, it looks like you do. So I want you to do it. I'm ordering you to answer her questions. Okay? So the very next day, the prosecutor adds a new charge. Okay? The prosecutor added the charge that at the airport, my wife had assaulted a police officer or resisted a police officer, because it's in the statutory language, so we don't know what the facts are that she's alleging, so we demand a bill of particulars for that later on. But this is just the mindset of these pro-government extremists that say, I've got the power, I'm going to wield it, and I'm going to crush anyone who asserts their rights.
Now, here's just for folks listening. So a bill of particulars is basically explain what you mean. What happened that would cause her to have violated that statute? That's really what the
exactly.
Bill of particulars
is. You can't
just
say someone assaulted
right.
a police officer.
She reached
you have
down.
To say who the police
right.
officer was. You have to say where it took place. You have to say when it happened. And you have to talk about the context of what you're going to prove to show that an assault took place.
Right. And he didn't bump into her purse, if that's what it was. Yeah, right.
Anytime,
sure.
You know, and this procedure, you know, I've dealt with criminal procedure in probably 16 different states, and in every state that I've looked at, there's a procedure like this. They might not call it a bill of particulars, but they call it something.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just ask your questions.
Yeah. Explain.
Who was assaulted? When did the assault take place? Where was the assault? Where did the assault take place? What action by the defendant constituted the assault?
And just so people know, too, the reason this isn't just a loophole. What it is you're supposed to be secure in your personal effects, your life, your liberty. And
not
it's really
that, your right to know the nature and cause of the accusation.
Yeah, but not even that. I'm going to step back a little bit. What it is it's supposed to be a burden on the government to put you in a situation where you have to defend yourself. It's supposed to be a heavy burden
right.
that they're supposed to prove, because otherwise people are just going to make a charge and a judge will just rubber stamp it, believing that what they say is true, just because they get paid by the government and they've got an oath. So really the goal is to say, if they can't come up and say, oh, Mrs. So-and-so was here at this place with that person that three witnesses saw them pick up the sledgehammer and bop him on the head while he was singing Little Rabbit Foo Foo. I mean, if you don't have that to be able to say, the judge needs to be able to look and say, wow, if you prove that stuff, boy, they're in jail. But if you don't have that to be able to even bring to the court and say, hey, you've got something to prove, they say, get out of here. Dismissed. Why are we bothering? Why are we wasting these people's time? That's really the goal. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so now she has to defend not only against one false charge, but two. Okay, and so then we get into a fight with the airport authority to try and secure a copy of the videotape of the checkpoint of the entry to the sterile area where people pass through and they get searched and whatever. And we had to fight to get that tape for a year and a half.
And the thing is, you would think they'd want the tape if what they say is true.
Well, the government attorney defending the airport authority in that lawsuit said that the videotape constituted sensitive security information. But if you look at the statutes and regulations surrounding the Transportation Safety Administration's, well, it's not safety, it's security, actually.
Right.
If you look at the statutes and regulations, what constitutes sensitive security information is very narrow. And so we found that we were entitled to that. And the attorney in that Freedom of Information Act lawsuit came to my wife at a court appearance where she is defending the criminal action and said, if I give you this videotape, will you drop your suit against me?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I'll give you the tape if you drop the suit.
In hand. Now she comes into the courtroom, and my wife holds the videotape up, and she says, I've been trying to get this videotape from the prosecutor for the last 6 months, and the prosecutor has told the court repeatedly she does not have access to it, or that it's been destroyed, or some other baloney, but here it is.
Which is basically, and folks, I'll just let you know, we got to tell everybody what they're listening to every now and then. You're listening to Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. I'm talking to Brad Barnhill, whose wife is basically taking on a government, TSA, the Transportation Safety Security Administration, whatever they are, the guys at the airport, and usually they're very nice people. I've had some very nice people check my bags. I really appreciate it. But you know what? Some are running amok. And so we're in a situation where When Brad's wife is holding the government accountable for their unlawful behavior, when they get caught in something, they bring up another false charge.
They try to bury you.
Yes.
And if you have an attorney, it's going to cost you a bundle.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of states, even if you file a civil rights suit, on a sometimes in a defense position, you can't get your attorney's fees back. If you sue them as your own suit, a civil suit, you might be able to recover your attorney's fees. But some statutory clauses in these kind of situations make it so if you're defending yourself, you're basically forking over the bucks.
Okay, so now we show up in court with the videotape that the prosecuting attorney says has been destroyed or is unavailable. Okay, she's lied to the court repeatedly about where that videotape is. And this is about a week before trial. And then the day before the trial in that criminal action, the prosecutor dismisses the case. So here we've been at that court 8 times over a period of 2 years to try and get something resolved, and this woman has just been abusing her authority the entire way. Now it's time for her comeuppance.
Because essentially she dismissed a case that was frivolous.
Yeah.
And so they dismissed the case against your wife, so now you're like, okay, now it's
so
your turn.
Reason.
Right, you've turned the tables.
Yeah. So now today we're at a point where we get to prove our case and show that this woman maliciously prosecuted my wife without any evidence to show that she had assaulted anyone. There's nothing in the police reports of the incident that show she assaulted anyone. There's nothing on the videotape that might constitute an assault. And not only that, she denied ever having access to or seeing the videotape. So if you look at just the evidence she had before her, the police reports, there's no cause for her to even initiate a charge of assaulting a police officer. But she did it anyway. That's how these minions of the beast operate. That's how these pro-government extremists operate. Let me tell you one more little anecdote about what happened to my wife's mother, my mother-in-law. My mother and I started to go into this before the break. And my mother-in-law was at court with my wife on this criminal case that's going on forever. And the prosecuting attorney, the defendant in the civil action, is running across the corridor, bumps into my mother-in-law, and then 2 hours later, she calls the cops and tells the cops that my mother-in-law assaulted her. And so she starts criminal charges against my mother-in-law for assaulting a public official. Hold on a second.
Okay.
That might be my wife.
Okay, we're going to have let Brad take a break there while he gets the phone. And that's an interesting story. And folks, if anybody wants to talk to Brad on the specifics of this, you can give us a call at 888-850-1872. He's been waiting for a call from his wife, who's been in the courtroom today, and he graciously, I caught him on his Facebook and saw that he was online, and I sent him a little note, said, hey, Brad, come tell us what's going on. If you want to give him a call at 888-850-1872, hopefully he'll come back in a few minutes. We'll be able to put you on there. We're going to be taking a break shortly. And just for you listeners, it sounds like these guys are ranting and raving against the government. No, 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 no. I'll just tell you, and I've known Brad. You know how we got to know each other? Is he was taking on some issues that I was taking on. I was doing it for myself because I can't go take on somebody else's problem. But I realized the problem that I had with a particular government agency, I could let it slide. I could suffer. I can tolerate it. I don't mind taking it on the chin. But then it came to a point where I realized it's not doing justice to the other guy that's going to come behind me, who's not going to have the wherewithal to deal with this. I didn't even know if I had the wherewithal to hold somebody accountable for a very strong government actor who looks like they're doing the right thing. They're going to be presumed to be doing the right thing. How do you lovingly hold them accountable to the law and so that this doesn't happen again? And of course, I had to actually have damage where I had to sue them and say, hey, you owe me, did the math, it was six figures. I had to be able to say that, or guess what? There's no statute available for me to hold them accountable. I actually needed to be able to show that there was a loss that could be protected by law. And that was a very difficult thing, taking on a government agency who's presumed to be correct. And of course, and I'll tell you what, the crowd around me is in the big gossip calling, trying to figure out that if David's really run amok and is rebellious and is anti-government. No, I am so pro-government, in a biblical way, that I have a duty to hold folks accountable. And so our number here is 888-850-1872. We've got about one more minute before we take a break. Brad, where were you?
I was where the prosecutor had accused my mother-in-law of assaulting her at the courthouse.
Right.
And so what ended up happening there was we moved that all of the judges in that court recuse themselves because they know the prosecutor, and they did. So they transferred this case across town. A different prosecutor had to handle it. I went in there and negotiated with that prosecuting attorney. He was really nice. And my mom can't defend herself the way that my wife and I do. And we can't afford an attorney for something like this. So she copped a plea. So what we agreed to is that she would plead nolo contendere, which means I admit the facts of the case, but I'm not pleading guilty. And in exchange for 6 months probation, and she had to pay court costs and probation costs. And if she was good for 6 months, then they would drop that. They would dismiss that case.
Okay, we're going to come back here after a break, folks. Another interesting story. He's not making this up, folks. These little anecdotes, they're not made up just for your entertainment or to deceive people. There's really some run amok folks out there. And you know what? We're not going to take vengeance, but at the same time, we've got to be able to hold folks accountable because we got to love our neighbor as ourselves, and we got to back this stuff up.